Part 2. When Mr. Grant Munro left, Holmes and I discussed the case.
I am afraid that this is a case of blackmail,
said Holmes. And who is the blackmailer? I asked.
Well, it must be that person with the yellow face. I must say, Watson, there is something very interesting about that yellow face at the window, and I would not abandon this case for anything.
Have you got a theory? I asked.
Yes,
Holmes replied.
I think her first husband is in the cottage. This is what I think happened. This woman was married in America. Her husband got a terrible disease. That is why he has that horrible yellow face. She ran away from him at last and came back to England, where she changed her name and started a new life. After 3 years of marriage, she felt safe again. But her first husband, or some unscrupulous woman attached to him, discovered where she lived. They wrote to her and told her to send them £100, or they would tell her new husband everything. When her husband told her that someone was living in the cottage, she knew that they were her blackmailers. In the middle of the night, while her husband was sleeping, she decided to go to the cottage. That night she was not able to convince her blackmailers to leave her in peace, so she returned the next day. That was when her husband saw her coming out of the house. She then promised her husband that she would not return, but she wanted her blackmailers to go away. She decided to go again, and this time she brought a photograph, which they probably asked her for. Fortunately for her, her maid warned her that her husband was coming, and she and her blackmailers left the house in time. Now we can do nothing except wait for Mr. Munro to call us, and then we'll see if my theory is correct.
We did not have to wait a long time. After tea, we received a message from Mr. Munro saying,
"There are people in the house. I have seen the yellow face again. I will do nothing until you arrive."
That night, Holmes and I took a train to Norbury. Mr. Munro was waiting for us at the station. He was pale and agitated.
"They're in the house now, Mr. Holmes,"
he said.
"We'll go and discover the mystery."
When we arrived there, Holmes asked Mr. Munro if he was sure he wanted to go into the cottage. Mr. Munro said he was sure, and we went up to the door of the cottage. As we got near the door, a woman suddenly appeared. It was Effie.
"Please, Jack, don't!"
she cried.
"Trust me!"
"I have trusted you too long, Effie,"
he cried.
"Let go of me! My friends and I are going to solve this mystery."
We went quickly up the stairs to the lighted room. In one corner there was a desk, and at that desk there appeared to be a little girl. Her face was turned away from us when we entered the room, but we could see she was wearing a red dress and long white gloves. She turned around to us, and I gave a cry of surprise and horror. Her face was the strangest yellow colour, and it had absolutely no expression. A moment later, the mystery was explained. Holmes, with a laugh, put his hand behind the ear of the little girl and pulled off the mask, and there was a little black girl. She laughed, and I laughed too, but Grant Munro stood looking at her with his hand holding his throat.
"My God!"
he cried.
"What does this mean?"
"I will tell you everything,"
cried his wife.
"You have forced me, and now we must both accept the situation. My husband died at Atlanta. My child survived."
"Your child?"
She pulled out a locket.
"You have never seen this open?"
"I thought it didn't open."
She opened the locket, and inside was the picture of a very handsome and intelligent man. A man who was obviously of African descent.
"This is John Hebron of Atlanta,"
said Mrs. Munro.
"And he was a very noble man. I cut myself off from my race to marry him, but I was never sorry for a moment. Our only child looked like his people rather than mine. She is very dark, But she is my dear little girl.
When the little girl heard these words, she ran to her mother.
I left her in America with a trusted servant,
Mrs. Munro continued,
because she wasn't very healthy, but I never wanted to abandon her. When I met you by chance and learned to love you, I was afraid to tell you about my child. I was afraid to lose you. I kept her existence a secret from you for 3 years, but finally I had to see my little girl. I sent the servant £100 and told her to come to this cottage. I took every possible precaution so that there would not be talk about a little black girl. That is why she wore that yellow mask. You told me about her arrival in the cottage. I was so excited, and that night I had to see her. That was the beginning of my troubles. And now, tonight, you know everything. What are you going to do about me and my child?
Mr. Grant Munro did not say anything for 10 minutes, and his answer was one of which I love to think. He lifted the little child, kissed her, and, with the little girl in his arms, he gave his other hand to his wife.
We can talk about it more comfortably at home,
he said.
I am not a very good man, Effie, but I think that I am better than you thought.
We all left the cottage together, and then Holmes and I returned to London. We did not say another word about the case until late that night at Holmes's house in Baker Street, just before Holmes went to bed.
Watson,
he said,
if you should ever think that I am becoming too sure of myself, or that I am not working hard enough on a particular case, please whisper Norbury in my ear, and I will be very thankful to you.